Good to be with you. Merry Christmas. Some of you dress up like a Christmas tree. The last song we sang was, "What Child Is This?" John chapter 3. John's Gospel, chapter 3. I think the answer is in God's Word. Some of the best known verses in all the Bible. We're going to read together. Beginning in verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because of their deeds were evil." One of the things we think most of at Christmas time is what we're going to get as a gift, or what we're going to give as a gift. Christmas began with the most precious gift of all. And the gift we're going to look at this morning was, it's like a tripartite gift from God in three parts. God's gift to mankind was a gift of love. It was a gift of life. And it was a gift of light. God so loved that he gave. That's how Christmas began. The Christmas that we celebrate God's gift. You hear the expression, and sometimes it's controversial, the gift that it keeps on giving. Well, this is the gift that keeps on giving. "For God, who spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" God's gift was a gift of love. For God so loved the world. That gift of love was unconditional. That gift of love was uncaused. That gift of love was unending. God did not evaluate us and see if we were worthy. And you and I, beloved, there was nothing in us, nothing special about us that God would love us. If I ask you, the most precious person in your life, why do you love that person? You can give 100 reasons why you love that person. But God's love is not that kind of love. God's love is uncaused. There was nothing in us, you and I, to draw it out. God loves us not because of who we are, but in spite of who we are. It is an unending love because it goes on forever and ever. The prophet Jeremiah reminds God's people, Israel, that God loved them with an everlasting love, and with his love and kindness, he had drawn them. Moses, speaking to the children of Israel, speaking of God's love towards them, he says, God didn't love you because you were special. God didn't love you because you were more in number than any other nation. In fact, you were the fewest, but God loved you because he loved you. That's it. You see, because the essential nature of God is love. God is love. And so God loved the world. God loved us. Not we had special qualities, and we had earned his favor. No, he loved us in spite of who we were. John, the beloved disciple, he's called the disciple whom Jesus loved. And he spoke often of the love of God. He says, little children, for instance, in 1 John 3:8, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And the way to distinguish love is not about talking about it. There's a lot of talk about love. There's a lot of singing about love. There's a lot of writing about love. But the best definition I've seen and read and heard and understand love to be is that love is known by the action that it prompts. No more talk. Love is known by the action that it prompts. And it says, God so loved the world. What action did that prompt? That he gave his only begotten Son. Love is known by the action that it prompts. It says, Christ loved the church. What action did that prompt? And he gave himself for it. Apostle Paul says, the Son of God loved me. What action did that prompt? And he gave himself for me. God's gift to mankind was a gift of love. Love unbounded, love uncaused, love unending. We go about and we get gifts, and we, depending on the person we're buying it for, we're not very careful. Not very careful. And we tell ourselves, because we want to be assured that we're doing the right thing, and we tell ourselves that when we go, well, it's not really the gift, it's the what? It's the thought that counts. That's where you can get away with a cheap gift, right? But God gave heaven's best for all its worth. God gave his best. He gave his only begotten Son. Blessed be God, our God, we sing sometimes, who gave for us his well-beloved Son, the gift of gifts, all other gifts in one. Blessed be God, our God. Love was manifested in that stable in Bethlehem. What child is this? It was from the bosom of the Father. It was the one that was with the Father from the very beginning. The Son of his love. the one of whom he said, "Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." What love manifested in that gift, his all. He gave his son. That's the gift that keeps on giving. That's the gift that we did not deserve, because if we got what we really deserve, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. When we think of Christmas, we think that God sent his Son. He gave his Son to be the Savior of the world. Love is known by the action that it prompts. The love of God is unconditional, it's unending. It's uncaused. You look at the life of the Lord Jesus. You look at that encounter with that rich young ruler. He came to Jesus inquiring, and he wanted to know the way to have eternal life. And the Lord Jesus explained to him. And the Bible says that he listened, but he turned away from the Lord, very sad, because the Lord Jesus said, in spite of all that you have done, you lack one thing. You see, his riches stood in his way because that was, at that time, was his God. And he turned away and he rejected the Lord Jesus. Oh, what did the Lord do? The Bible says that the Lord, beholding him, he loved him. Even in the face of rejection, the Lord loved him. And some of you have rejected him for a long time, but he loves you anyway. On his way to the cross, it says, Jesus, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Let me try and back up what I said, that love is known by the action that it prompts. In 1 John chapter 4, let's just read on from verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Unto you is born this day. That's the Christmas message. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. God's gift, it's a gift of love, but we have to move on. It says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the gift that God has given. That gift is eternal life, everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, the first man came and he sinned against God and he brought death and destruction. But God's man, God's second man, the last Adam, he brought life. Life. And Jesus said, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." We get a lot of visitors these days coming to our homes, and they're not coming to bring us something. They're coming to take. They call them porch pirates. They're coming to take. And Jesus spoke of these people. He said, "The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Watch out for those porch pirates. That's why they come. The thief, he comes to steal. If you get in his way, he's going to kill you. We had some very sad stories in recent time. In Charlotte, oh, you don't have any crimes out here, but in Charlotte, you know, and this guy wanted a man's money, and he couldn't get it fast enough, and he killed him. He didn't even open the doors of his business yet. Took his life. Came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. If they want to destroy the evidence, they steal what you have, then they kill you, and they set your house on fire. Destroy. That's the thief. But I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. The life that the Lord is talking about is not the extension of this physical life. It is the life of God himself. It's eternal life. It's God's life imparted to you through the ministry of the Spirit of God. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Born of the Spirit, born of water, and born from above. That's why Jesus came. That's the purpose. That's the gift of God. It's life. That's what God gave. Life, eternal life. And Jesus said, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life." He came to impart new life. Born that man no more may die. Born to give us second birth. That's why he came. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Created anew in Christ Jesus. A gift of life. You know, this, without this gift, there can be no life. Real life, eternal life, the life of God himself. You cannot purchase this. You cannot earn it. It is a gift. And when Christ came, When Christ came, he came to impart this life. In order to impart this life, he had to abolish death. And he brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Many saw him. Many communed with him. But I go back to John, because John was so close to the Lord, and he wrote extensively about God's love in Christ. He spoke so much of the incarnation. John the Apostle, that disciple who became John the Apostle, and this is something that he wrote concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, the gift of life. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. The word of life. God incarnate. For the life was manifested. We all saw it. We interacted with that light, with that life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested, made known, made visible to us. God's gift was a gift of life. The life was manifested. He that believeth on the Son, John 3:36, hath everlasting life. This is not only a future hope, it is a present possession. What a gift. What a gift. Gift of life in the person of Jesus Christ. The words that he spoke, Jesus said, they are spirit and they are life. Life. And when some of the followers of Jesus in John chapter 6 departed from him because of the saying, some of the saying that he told them, they were hard for them to keep, they say, and they followed him not. And Jesus turned to the 12 and he said, will you also go away? It was Peter who answered this time, and he said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. God is love. God is life. God is light. Verse 19. John chapter 3. This is the condemnation, that light is come. Light is come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. God's gift was and is still the gift of light. After 400 years of silence and darkness, a man came on the scene. That's in the life of Israel, that is. He says in John chapter 1, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light John was not that light. They wanted to make him that light. They wanted, and they mistook him for that light. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That light was God's gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was recognized as such early during his sojourn here. He was only weeks old when he was taken to the temple. And that aged man who was waiting for the consolation of Israel, who was waiting to see God's promise fulfilled, his name was Simeon. He took him up in his arms and he blessed God and he said, Lord, let us now, thy servant, depart in peace according to thy word. You have promised me. Here is the fulfillment, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. What is it? A light to lighten the nations and the glory of thy people Israel. The light. When did God promise this light? He promised way back in the prophecy of Isaiah to give them a light to lighten the nations. If you want to, Isaiah 42, we're just going to read it. I'm battling the clock, but the clock usually wins. 42 and 6 says, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the nations. To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison and those who sit in darkness out of the prison house. What a light he was. What a light the Lord Jesus was. A light to the nations. The glory, the shining forth effulgence of thy people. He was that light. God's gift of light. You know, the people of God went through a lot of sufferings in the Old Testament, and if we had time, you can read it in Isaiah, you can read it in 2 Kings chapter 15. But God had promised that light that would come, that would shine. He says he's going to come, and the people who sat in darkness saw a great light. That's when the Lord Jesus came to Naphtali and Capernaum, Galilee of the nations, where he first announced his ministry, and the people rejoiced in that light and in the fulfillment that those who were in darkness, those who suffered so much, the very region where they suffered so much at the hands of cruel men, God has sent the light, the Lord Jesus Christ. The blind man in John chapter 9, before he sent him to the pool, before he sent him to wash and to receive his sight, he says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. The light of the world. People that sat in darkness saw great light. Light has sprung up. Light has sprung up. That Christmas morn, if you want to call it that Christmas morn, that babe in Bethlehem's manger was the light of the world. Simeon recognized it. So did many others. Mary, she pondered these things in her heart. The things that were said of him. He came to give light, to enlighten us. He is the light, according to John 1, the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And people still grope in darkness, and they still don't understand the Christmas story. They still don't understand that the babe of Bethlehem was God in the flesh, came to give life and light to all who were dead and who were blind. Paul the Apostle explains this in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. It says, if our gospel be hid, it is hidden to them that are lost, in whom the God of this age hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. They distract us with a lot of stuff. See, this is what Christmas is about. A lot of stuff has nothing to do with Christmas. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give us the knowledge of the glory of God, where that is, in the face of Jesus Christ. What the song says, Mary, did you know? When you kiss your babe, you kiss the face of God. In the face of Jesus Christ, a light to lighten the nations and the glory of thy people Israel. Now, too often we grow up in the darkness and we seem to be stumbling. We seem not to know the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John the Baptist recognized that. He spoke so much of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that was in cometh into the world. In him, John 1 and 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness overcame it not. A lot of darkness in the world. And it would seem to want to overshadow that light, God's light. But it cannot overcome. It cannot reduce that light. It cannot hide that light. That light is manifested. Manifested, made known. Several times we read of the Lord being manifested, being made known to us. Manifested. On one occasion it says he was manifested to take away our sins. That's why he came. He was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. He was manifested, made known to us, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And the devil brought darkness and despair. But Jesus came, a light, to dispel the darkness. He was manifested to deliver us who, through fear of death, were all our lifetimes subject to bondage, and to deliver us from the hand of the tyrant, from the hand of the enemy, from the one who had the power of death, that is the devil. God's gift to a world of sinners lost was a gift of light. And God's people need to dwell in the light. We need to dwell in the light, meaning that we need to be following the light, following the Lord Jesus. He is the light of the world. Everything else is darkness. And there is a difference between the children of God and the children of darkness. There's a difference between the children of light and the children of darkness. Let me read you from the book of Exodus to highlight that point I'm trying to make. And if we can't distinguish the difference, something is wrong. We're not walking in the light as he is in the light, because that's how they'll know. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. When God came down in judgment, the judgment of darkness on the Egyptians in Exodus, Exodus in chapter 10. This is the difference, beloved, between the children of darkness and children of light. I want you to look at it, because this is the point we're trying to make of light and darkness. Exodus, chapter 10, verse 21 says, "The Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt." That was a thick darkness, a darkness that may be felt. "And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. They saw not one another," that's the Egyptians, "neither rose any from his place for 3 days." Not the children of darkness. Look at the difference. But the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. The children of Israel had light in their dwellings. There might be darkness all around you, beloved, but you don't have to succumb to it. You can walk in the light, for he is the light of the world. What a gift. What a precious gift. Gift of love, God so loved that he gave. A gift of life, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. A gift of light. Light is come. Light is come. Light came when Jesus was manifested. When he was born in Bethlehem's manger, that was light. And he shone throughout his earthly ministry, bright and clear. John said, "We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Let us enjoy our precious gift this Christmas. Let us relish, let us revel in that precious gift of love. What a precious, what child is this? God's love gift to a world of sinners lost. Let us relish, let us enjoy him. Let us worship him. God bless his word, and God bless you and your family throughout this Christmas season. May you come to know the gift of love and the gift of life, and the gift of light, the gift that keeps on giving. Father, we thank thee for this day. We thank thee for this season that we celebrate, for we remember the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember him as
God's love gift to us. God so loved that he gave. He gave us that precious gift of love and life and light. We pray that we would reflect and manifest that light that has come into our hearts, that love, the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and that life that exudes from our lifestyle, that tell others that we are really alive in Christ. For you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and in sins. We ask thy blessing on thy people here. Bless each family and bless the gathering together this evening. And grant, Lord, that thy people would continue to enjoy fellowship and communion with thee first of all and with each other. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with thy people and be with us all. We pray and give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.